Boring Mike.
Massive studies, hundreds of thousands of...
Don't like dairy. I think it's generally bad for people.
Staggeringly low.
Astronauts have taught us so much. Hello, everyone. Welcome yet again to another exciting episode of the Health Happens podcast. Joining me, as always, Michael Frosina. How are you doing tonight, Michael?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you doing, Chris?
I'm doing great. You know what? I'm just thinking in my head as we say this, because as you know, we've just spent like probably the last 30 minutes trying to make everything work. But it's funny. As soon as that intro music comes on, I'm like, okay, let's do it. Here we go. Health Happens podcast.
They have no idea the technical difficulties we just had.
Yeah, sometimes, you know, that's just how it is. But you keep a smile on your face and you keep going, right, buddy?
That's it.
That's it, pal. That's it. You know what's funny, Mike? I've noticed this as well. When we converse outside of this, we actually slip into our sort of bit of playing off each other and making jokes.
Oh, do we?
I do, yeah. Even like when we were just talking in advance, like we were waiting for things to load and filling space, I could feel myself being like, okay, I'm going to say this. Oh, that's funny. And we were kind of playing into some of that on-air character we get into.
Oh, that's weird. I wonder if that happens in social situations now.
I'm sure it does. We're definitely both getting
funnier. I'm going to pay more attention to that because that's a little weird.
Well, I mean, I think people have noticed we're funnier than we used to be.
I'm just as funny as I've always been, Chris. I'm probably bringing up your level of funny.
People are like, yeah, you're so much funnier when Mike hangs around.
That's true.
Okay.
Chris, what the heck are we talking about today?
Did you like that?
Yeah. No, not really.
Well, come on, it's pretty clever. Like, it's the calcium.
No, it wasn't that clever.
Calcium, I put it in our show notes. Did you see that?
I did see that. I'm reading it right now.
See? Good. It's a little more funny in print. Oh, this guy's tough tonight. All right. We are talking about calcium. That's what we're talking about tonight. We're not going to tell you what it is, because you probably already know if you took grade 11 chemistry.
Yeah, we're not going to point it out on the periodic table if that's what you're talking
about. Can you remember what number it is? I think it's number 35.
No, I have no idea. I haven't looked at a periodic table in over a decade, for sure.
I'm looking it up right now.
Oh, that's excellent radio here.
Why don't you tell us why we're talking about it?
We're talking about calcium because that's what we're doing this month. We're going to talk about some vitamins and minerals and give you guys a little bit more background information about them. I think we've been wanting to do calcium for quite a while. It's one of the most supplemented vitamins or minerals out there. I think you wrote down, 48.4% of people are taking calcium as a supplement.
Yeah.
And if you look at the population above 50 or above 60, that probably rises quite a bit.
It definitely does, yeah. For the record, calcium wears jersey number 20.
Really? Calcium's 20, huh?
Yeah, on the periodic table.
I would have thought it was higher than that.
Yeah, me too, but it's not.
All right.
You know,
I guess that's why neither of us are chemists.
The first rule of improv is you never cut off your partner. You're supposed to always like end with a question or end with something that has a retort. The worst thing you're supposed to do is just say like, nope.
Because, why do you know that, Chris?
I haven't actually taken an improv class yet, but I've spent a lot of time with people who've taken improv classes, and they
did. You just sneak into an improv class and you just learned the first rule of improv, and then they found out they
caught
you
me. Well, they started taking attendance and like, wait a second, you're not on the list. Bye. And
but here's the first rule.
Yeah, and I said nope, and they had no retort because that's the first rule.
Fantastic.
Okay, Mike, let's talk. You're right. So actually, I want to make sure we didn't just gloss over that. A lot of people are taking calcium. Huge numbers of people are taking calcium. And Mike, why are they taking it?
Well, they're taking it because calcium's good for your bones.
Exactly.
Right?
Calcium is required for your bones. True or false?
Yes, true.
Exactly. So if calcium's good for my bones and you just admitted it, then why shouldn't we all take calcium?
I just admitted it.
You said
you're like, haha, I got you.
I caught you.
Well, we'll get into that, whether or not you should be taking calcium. But basically, the story goes. So what happens is most of the time when I have a first visit or second visit with my patients, I say, you know what, bring in your supplements, bring in your bag or bags of supplements, and we're going to go through them one by one. And what I do is I take a look at the supplement. I say, how much of this are you taking? And then I ask them, why are you taking it?
Yep.
And that's pretty much the answer I get every single time when they try to answer the why are you taking this calcium supplement. They say, well, it's good for your bones, isn't it?
Yep. Isn't it?
And isn't it? Yeah, that's the question. And well, my mom had osteoporosis or my grandmother had osteoporosis, so I should be taking it.
Right?
Yeah. It sort of ends on a... Shouldn't
yeah.
I?
Yeah, exactly. It ends with that little end of a sentence lilt that infers a question. Before we get into that, here's what I want to discuss. I don't remember if I've said this on air before. I've probably told you this story in person. A lot of NDs, I certainly remember doing this, especially back when I was a student, you would say, okay, you know, next time bring in a list of your supplements or bring in what you're taking. People still do it all the time, and we'll take mm-hmm. a look. This happened, and this wasn't me. This was someone else that I was on a shift with. And guess how many supplements the person she was working with brought in?
73.
Here's the answer. And I actually saw this with my own eyes. This is true. An entire hockey bag full.
Those are big.
Plus one backpack.
Wow.
Yeah. Crazy. This person.
So 73.
That was the exact number. Yeah.
Yeah.
A hockey bag full of supplements. That's how many supplements this person was taking. Mike, that's insane.
Insane is pretty close to accurate, yeah.
Actually, yeah, it might be. It might actually
it's
be.
It's sad, is, yeah. If you ask me.
So part of the reason that we're having this discussion, part of the reason we're even talking about supplements and some different things is, I know you think this maybe a little less than I do, but mostly I think you think the same thing. Too many people are taking too many supplements with not enough foundational reason to do so.
Yeah, I think that sentence pretty much sums up the entire month of April of what we're going to be doing on this podcast. Yes.
And calcium is a major player in that, I think.
Certainly, as we just showed that, at least half of the people out there are taking calcium.
Correct. Okay. All right, Mike. So let's get into maybe your boring segment. Why? I'm gonna get back into those sound bites. It's gonna be like boring, Mike.
Okay, Mike, tell us about the physiology of calcium.
No, and I don't even really want like the physiology. Just tell me what our body needs it for.
Our body needs it for the true answer is it needs it for a number of things. Calcium is absolutely vital. We must have calcium, or you'll pretty much die. How's that? That's a little ominous.
That's vital for sure.
You need to take it in, or you'll die. But yeah, I mean, our bones are made up of, among other things, a form of calcium, and that's where most of our calcium in our body goes. But you don't just need it for a good, strong skeleton. You also need it for nerve transmission. You need it for muscle function as well. Those are the biggest things there, nerve and muscle function. But I mean, you need it for other things. You need it for energy production. You need it for a whole bunch of other things, actually. But I don't want to get into the nitty gritty. It's suffice it to say you need it for healthy skeleton, healthy nervous system, and healthy muscular function.
Yeah, and that's a lot of stuff, right?
Yeah, that covers most of what you're doing all the time.
Yeah, exactly. So it's vitally important, but we can have too little and we can have too much.
Mm-hmm.
What's optimal?
Oh, that's a great question. In fact, when I was doing my research, I got into a lot of differing opinions on what is optimal. Depending on who you're asking, optimal calcium daily intake is somewhere between 600 milligrams and 1500 milligrams per day.
Yeah, that's about the number. I mean, I saw a couple of places that committed to 1,000, which is pretty much right in the middle of that.
Yep, it's in that range. We don't know what the requirement is. Now, we're not talking about you need to take this much as a supplement. You need this much total daily intake from all sources, from food, from supplements, from wherever you're getting it in.
Yep, and this is This is hardly new information, but this is the first time I've kind of seen a strict number on it, because I did see some strict numbers, and these weren't from just like, oh, Tina's health blog. These were like, you know, health.
Shout out to Tina's health blog, by the way.
Exactly. You should totally check it out. I saw a couple places that said you should stay below 2,500 at the most, and most of them even suggested below 2,000.
Yep, I've seen that.
How do you feel about that?
I feel actually great about that.
Yeah.
I think too much calcium legitimately can cause problems.
Yeah, I mean, we even know this. The blood has a set of mechanisms to try to tightly regulate calcium. Like, calcium is very regulated in the blood.
That's the whole reason we have a parathyroid gland, Chris.
All
parathyroid
of
glands.
Glands. Yeah, I think there are four, if I'm not mistaken.
Actually, you can have any number of parathyroid glands. Four is the most common, but some people have six, some people have eight.
How many do you think you have?
Me? Probably four. I'm
pretty
average.
Three.
Three?
Yeah. I think you're like a little below average.
Yeah, and also odd.
You are left-handed, so maybe.
That is true.
Yeah, that's odd, right?
That's true. It is less common.
Shout out to lefties.
Yeah, hashtag lefties rule.
Mike's leftyblog.com.
Yes.
Okay, so that was exciting. Let's talk some more about calcium, though, because we just talked about numbers, and I wanted to talk about numbers because a lot of people do just assume, oh, I need to take calcium, so I'll take one or two or a couple supplements a day. And often they'll just take more than 1,000.
Yep.
A lot of people take 1,500,
right? A lot of calcium pills will give you 500 milligrams of calcium per dose. Yes.
So and a if lot you think, of people
oh, yeah, I'll just take three. I mean, that's your entire daily recommendation just right there, right?
Yeah.
And so don't eat anything because you might, you know.
Tip you over.
Yeah.
All right. Anything you want to add? We'll come back to supplemental calcium for sure. Anything you want to add before we talk about...
Where do we get calcium from, Chris?
Yeah, that's what I wanted to get into next. You know, I've been struggling with this, truthfully, because we've been planning this podcast all week, of course. But in the last couple of days, I've even asked people I know, I've been struggling with where do we get calcium from.
Really?
Yes, I have.
Why?
Because the best source is dairy.
The best? Oh, do you want to talk about that? Let's talk about that.
We're going to talk about that. Yeah, we're talking about calcium. We have to talk about that.
Okay. So, yeah, you struggle with that? Oh, because you don't like dairy.
I don't like dairy. I think it's generally bad for people. And I don't want to... I just feel that. But it's a great source of calcium. And here's the even weirder part. I eat a lot of dairy. I do. Like, I eat quite a bit of dairy.
Yeah, cheese is delicious.
I have a
yogurt's
fair bit of cheese.
Great.
I eat it, you know, I probably eat a half cup of yogurt. Now, it's good quality probiotic, blah, 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 blah. But, like, that's still dairy. And, I can't on air say, like, oh, I don't think humans should really eat a lot of dairy. It's probably not very good. And then, you know, then there's that photographer in my kitchen in the morning who catches me spooning the yogurt into my mouth.
Yeah. Also, what's he doing in your kitchen in the morning?
With that giant flash bulb, too. Like,
like, get out of here, you.
I told you not before 7 a.m.
Right. So, but you're right. I mean, dairy remains a fantastic, the best.
Yeah, the best. It is.
Can
it is
I say that?
You can. Yeah.
The best source of calcium out there.
And there are lots of conspiracy and veggie blogs and things like that will say, well, you know,
but you can't really absorb the calcium in dairy.
And the answer to that is just, that's not true. As much as I actually don't, I wanted it to be true over the last few days when I've been looking it up, and it's sort of like, no, vegetables are an adequate source of calcium. So yes, you can get all the calcium you need without having dairy. So, you know, you can still keep that for sure, but you can't say that dairy is not an excellent... I want to, and I can't say it's not an excellent source of calcium.
Yeah. What is... Can we just get into that for a second? Like, when you were... I know you went into the popular literature, and you read about this. What are some of the people saying about why dairy is not a good source of calcium?
The main discussion, and it's really just like people are throwing it out there, they're saying because dairy impairs absorption, therefore you're not absorbing anything when you eat dairy. And there is probably some truth to dairy slowing down digestion, because that, like, we know that happens. But but that's really kind of as far as it goes. There are a couple other like, oh, well, you know, it acts like this. And some people say when you eat dairy, it's like making glue in your body because first you acidify it and then you add a base and then you break it down. And therefore, you know, I'm sure you've seen that as well. So there are plenty of arguments for why we should not eat dairy. I don't really worry about the arguments. It's more like clinically, I see most people do much better when they get their dairy down to, you know, a very small amount per week. And a lot of people just feel better when they have none. But that does get us immediately into calcium. And where, if you're not having dairy, where are you getting it? And here's where I'm starting to think. This is what I've been wrestling with for the last couple of days. So what if maybe the numbers are just wrong? Maybe we don't need 1,000 milligrams of calcium every day.
Well, I think that's why you're seeing so much variation in the opinion there, right? Almost threefold in the recommendations from like 500 or 600 milligrams up to 1,500.
That's right.
There's serious debate how much we actually need. And in fairness, part of it is because it does depend on where you are in your life cycle.
Definitely.
Right. You know, little babies obviously need less because they have less. But, you know, in fairness, they
because
need,
they're little babies.
Well, they don't have as much not very big skeleton, but they're growing at a fast rate. So relative to their weight, they need more than we do, percentage wise anyway.
Yep, sure. Yeah, per capita.
Sure. but no, that's not true.
No,
but
it's a funny way to say it, though.
Yes. Teenagers would be the same situation when they're going through their growth spurts. They would need more calcium in those phases too, just to keep up with the growth that's going on. And then the elderly need more than your average adult does.
Well, that I think is the most debatable. And I want you to talk a little bit about the research in a little while. That kids and teenagers need it. Yes, definitely they need more calcium. One, because they are actively growing. So, of course, they have to lay calcium down to build strong bones. But I really want to talk about what really determines calcium and calcium absorption in the body.
Okay.
Do you know the answer to that?
Well, what determines calcium absorption or what determines calcium excretion? Because if you're going to talk about the elderly needing more calcium, especially elderly women needing more calcium, you have to talk about calcium excretion. How much is leaving the body?
Yes.
That's a massive part of the equation that I think doesn't get talked about enough.
You know what? You're right. I want to hear you talk about that. Yeah, you can go for it. Talk about it right now. Let's do it.
Well, let's talk about absorption first, and then we'll get to the other end, which is the excretion. Calcium absorption is dependent very tightly on vitamin D.
Yes,
you
need
vitamin D to efficiently absorb calcium, which is not to say that you can't absorb calcium without vitamin D. You actually can. You don't need it at all. Your body just doesn't do it very efficiently at all. But in the gut, vitamin D does help tremendously increase the amount of calcium that you can absorb.
Yeah, you're right. That's not where I thought you were going with that, but I always like hearing that point. I'm on team vitamin D. If I could be part of a team, I would be like, vitamin D would be on the front and my name would be on the back of the jersey.
Sure. There you go.
Yeah. I think vitamin D is so, I mean, we all say it's very, very important because we know that it is. But I mean, look at the things that it does in the body. It's a building block for steroid hormones. It's required to help absorption of calcium. Like, those are very different jobs.
Yeah.
And yet, this one beautiful little hormone nutrient does that.
Yes. And if you want to learn more about vitamin D, you can listen to our vitamin D podcast where we covered most of the things that it does in the body. Probably not all of them because it does so much. But we actually did a pretty good job on that podcast. It was pretty thorough. One of the better ones.
Get down with D. That's what I'm saying.
We're down with D. Yeah, you know us.
You know me, Mike. That's how you
can. I know. It didn't rhyme, but it's not me. It's us. We
are. Yeah. Oh, you know we. Yeah, you could have done that if you're a sharper.
I'm not.
It's a little later in the evening tonight.
True.
Okay. So we're talking about calcium. This is what I want to say about it. I like what you said. I'm glad that you put that point out there, and it's absolutely true. You can't undermine that. This is what really determines calcium regulation in the body. It's using your bones. So when we talk about the elderly, I think part of the reason they lose more is that they're not using their bones. I mean, the astronauts have taught us so much. And one of the things we know is their bones weaken when they go up into space because they're not doing weight-bearing, load-bearing activity.
Yes, because they don't have gravity.
They don't have gravity up there. And it's a struggle. Like, they're not sure. Humans cannot spend indefinite time in outer space because their bones will weaken. They're simply not being used. It's the same principle down here on Earth. Yes, we do have gravity, but we're built to do much more than that. A lack of weight-bearing activity leads to deterioration of the bones. This is kind of what's interesting. So you're going to tell us about excretion in a moment. Like, why do the bones automatically deteriorate if you don't use them? I think that's an interesting question to ask.
Well, because the body is very lean in its use of resources. And if it thinks that it doesn't need a strong skeleton, it won't have a strong skeleton. So if you stop putting stress on your bones and you stop doing physical exercise and you stop walking around, your body's going to think, oh, I don't really need strong bones because I don't really need to support the body as much as I used to. So I'm just going to divert resources elsewhere. Your body's pretty good at doing that.
Yeah, you get jelly bones. That's the name of the medical condition, I think.
Jelly bones? Yeah, that's exactly it.
There's a song called Jelly Bones. Pretty catchy.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Sounds
Canadian
fun.
Band. Yes, and this is what I think. I think this is, so I remember when I learned this piece of information and it actually blew my mind. Someone was teaching me about calcium and bones, and they said, look, this is how it works. Your muscles attach to your bones, and that signal, it's a classic classic feedback loop in the body. It tells the body, oh, we're using this lever system. That's all it is, right? Like, you're lifting something with your arm. You're using a series of levers, biomechanics in the body. We're using this lever system, levers and pulleys under strain. And therefore, the body is able to reinforce those. The muscles get stronger, but if the muscles are going to get stronger, the bones have to get stronger to support the increased load. And
exactly.
it's not more complicated than that. So the impetus for calcium uptake to increase is a need sent out by the bones that says, hey, we've got to get these levers stronger so that they can hold more mass. And therefore, I think a lot of the calcium discussion, a lot of the calcium debate isn't how much do you need? It's you need your body to need some if you want to actually improve the strength of your bones.
Yes, you need to tell your body that it needs calcium. How's that?
I think that's perfect. And I also think this, you know, you can take 1,500 milligrams of calcium, but if your body says, oh, we don't really need it, like we're moving towards jelly bones here. We've got to surfeit. Surfeit, surplus? I always forget how to use those properly.
Surplus.
Is surfeit not enough?
I'm not entirely sure.
See, that's the gamble sometimes when you use words that are not common. One, most people you're talking to aren't going to know anyway, but then someone might, and then you're getting caught out. So if you do it on air, we got to be careful.
Well, I'll be sure to look it up between now and the time it gets posted, and if you're wrong, I'll put it in the description.
Well, no, I mean, I called myself on it. I said I'm not totally sure.
Just saying, I'm going to do this.
Well, I'm one step ahead of you because I'm looking it up right now. An excessive amount of something is a surfeit, so I did indeed use it.
Why would they make surfeit and surplus mean the same thing? That's ridiculous.
I don't know the answer to that, Mike. I suspect they probably have something related, though.
What a dumb language sometimes, I'll tell you.
So if you do not use your bones, so let's say you're just not using your bones. So you're not sending the message, strengthen the bones. The bones are starting to weak. You're taking in calcium, but why would the body absorb more calcium if it doesn't need more calcium?
I mean, that's a great question. And
right. I'm going to pitch it over to you now to talk about the research, or me. Yeah, no, let's do this first. I'm going to pitch it over to you to talk about the research. So Mike, does taking calcium...
Oh, we're getting way ahead of ourselves. Hold on. We didn't even talk about excretion yet.
Okay. How about we save that exciting bit
all right, after the break? Okay, let's take a break, Chris. And we're back. Thanks for being here for the Health Happens podcast. We are talking about calcium today, Chris. And where do we leave off with our little discussion?
Well, you know, actually, we've got lots of exciting stuff for, you know, for just an element. We've got lots of exciting things to talk about still. You were going to, because you're pretty amped up about talking about excretion and the other factors that regulate how it's used in the body. Mike?
Oh, that's right. I remember now. I was outraged that you wanted to actually talk about the research without talking about excretion of calcium from the body.
I know.
Outrageous, Chris. Outrageous. I mean, that's half the story right there.
Okay, yak, yak. Come on, give it to us.
So yes, your body takes in calcium and it stores it in bones. You know, did we even talk about the bones being a reservoir for calcium?
No, we didn't, but everyone knows
we didn't.
That.
Okay, but it is. We know that. That's
where
your
body
stores.
What other minerals are required in there?
Phosphorus mainly
is
the other big one. I mean, there's some magnesium. There's some, I'm not entirely sure which other ones. What makes up hydroxyapatite, Chris?
No, there are two other words that you're supposed to say here. One starts with a stra.
A what?
Stra.
Strontium.
And the other one starts with a B.
A boron.
Sure. You're okay. A boron.
All right. Fine.
I
always forget about those guys. Those two are just so boring, but they really are.
Yeah.
Strontium and boron.
Yeah. Okay. I'm sorry to interrupt you. I just had to call you a boron.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah. And then it's your reservoir. And then as your body needs it, it can pull it out of the bones. And as it needs to store more calcium, it can put it back in the bones. And that's essentially what happens. But that's only part of the story, because you've got all this calcium floating around in your blood and your body has to get rid of it. So it gets rid of calcium mainly in the kidneys, right? So you excrete calcium in the urine. You pee it out. But there, especially in women, this isn't as relevant in men, but especially in women, here's what happens. In your childbearing years, before you hit menopause, you have a very strong signal that tells the kidneys, don't excrete a ton of calcium because you need it. And that signal is estrogen.
Yes.
Yes. And your body has abundant estrogen, again, during your childbearing years. Yes, it fluctuates up and down a little bit throughout your cycles, but you still have quite, you know, relatively a ton of it. Then in your 40s or 50s, you hit menopause and you stop menstruating and your levels of estrogen drop off dramatically. And what follows that, Chris, is the lack of signal telling your kidneys hold on to calcium. So you're not telling your kidneys to hold on to calcium anymore. And then you start excreting a lot more of it. So it's not even this, you know, you've heard this whole estrogen strengthens the bones and keeps bones strong. Well, this is mainly how it does it. It keeps calcium in the body. And when you don't have that estrogen, your body just freely gets rid of it in the urine as a waste product.
That's fascinating stuff.
It is fascinating stuff.
I have a question for you. This is not a joke. I actually have a question for you. It's okay if you don't know the answer. So estrogen encourages the retention of calcium.
Correct.
When estrogen, so let's say a woman hits menopause and that estrogen signal of retention is gone, does her excretion of calcium now go down to the same as a man, or does it go further than that?
Oh, that's a great question.
Yeah.
I don't know the answer to that. I don't know how it compares. Like, I don't know if women, relatively speaking, retain more before menopause.
Yeah.
I don't know the answer to that.
Because
all I know is that compared to premenopausal women, postmenopausal women excrete a lot more calcium.
Yes. Okay. No, that's a good question we'll think about.
Yes.
Okay.
That is a good question.
Other factors that influence excretion, did you want to take us through that?
No, that's the biggest one,
that's
really.
That's the biggest one, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, no, I shouldn't say that entirely. I mean, there are other hormonal factors as well. But no, I mean, that's the really clinically relevant one that we're going to touch on today.
Good. All right.
Is that fair?
Yeah, no, that's fine. And I do think that's important, because what I want to get into, and this is really why we're talking about this, is Mike, all right, sure. Tell me what the research says, but here's the question we're really answering. Should I take calcium? Should a 50-year-old man take calcium? Should a 65-year-old woman take calcium?
Probably not. And yeah, maybe.
Okay.
How's that for you?
That's pretty good. I think we just wrap it up right there. You nailed it.
No, because look, as a gentleman in his very late 30s, No, you probably
a gentleman like in his very late 30s. Like you're turning 40 tonight, and you think you're
not
a gentleman.
Me, but you're very close to it. No, you probably don't need, especially because you admitted that you really like dairy.
So you're probably getting really, what it was.
Yeah, you're probably getting enough in your diet. You probably don't need any additional calcium in your diet. So I would think a supplement would be wasted on you. Similarly for, what did you say, a 50-year-old man?
Yep.
So just a little bit older than you. No, I think it would be, again, probably similarly wasted. Might have to do with some other factors, you know, dietary intake and, you know, exercise levels, how much the body actually requires of calcium. But assuming this man is sufficiently meeting his needs, I would say, no, you probably don't need calcium either.
Okay.
Supplemental calcium.
Tell me.
Then we get into the 65-year-old woman who is presumably well into menopause, is excreting a lot more than she was used to, and is probably, again, you know, statistically speaking, heading towards osteoporosis or osteopenia. I think in these situations, considering calcium could be of benefit.
Okay, good. You've given us your clinical opinion there. I appreciate that. Can you compare and contrast that to anything you've seen through research?
What does the research say? So
that's what I want to know.
Yeah, the research says if you're going to take calcium, you might get a little bit of a benefit for
that doesn't sound
bone
very convincing.
Density. No, it's not all that convincing. It's not very compelling, really. But there might be some benefit, a modest benefit, to preserving bone density and reducing the incidence of fractures. If you're, especially a woman, and if you are...
How can someone be especially a woman?
Well, I mean, it's less relevant for males.
Yes.
But it's much more relevant for females, and especially if you're menopausal.
Correct. Okay. What else? Is there anything else that you would like to highlight from the research? Because really, that's what I wanted to hear you say was...
Okay. So, yeah, I could talk about the research quite a bit. So I've got a few things to say. First of all, the benefit of taking just calcium on its own is very modest. In fact, most studies indicate that there's no benefit, or at least no statistically significant benefit to taking just calcium. If you're going to take calcium, it's a no-brainer. You should be taking it with vitamin D as well.
Okay, good, because that increases the absorption in the gut.
Because it increases the absorption in the gut, and it has been shown most of the time, not all the time, but most of the time, that calcium plus vitamin D does increase bone density or slow down bone loss.
Yeah.
And prevents fractures as well.
Which is really actually very, very important. I want to actually drop in on that. Preventing fractures. And this is where we could say, well, the research, you know, you might be listening and you're like, well, the research doesn't sound all that convincing. Why would I bother at all? And here is the reason. If it actually does prevent a fracture, that becomes immediately significant. Fractures are the number one predictor of negative health outcomes in later life.
Is that true? The number one?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, I'd have to check it, but I'm quite confident in saying that. As in, especially the older someone is, when they have a fracture, they never regain full mobility. They never regain full prior quality of life, and therefore
many don't.
Oh no, yeah, of course, not everyone, but you're at a much higher risk of not regaining full mobility
the
older you are. So when you prevent a fracture, you don't lose that. And it's just as simple as the idea of, when you know, if you fracture your hip, right? That's the most common one that we talk about. Yep. You're out for quite a while, and you may not be able to go back to some of the things you enjoyed doing. If what you did before was a hiking group, that isn't something you can do anymore. And therefore, you've lost one of your main socializing aspects and physical activity aspects, and your quality of life notably decreases.
Yeah, it can have... far-reaching effects, not just the immediate things we think of.
Yeah, I mean, I teach this when I teach yoga, because we do a lot of, I like to do a lot of balance and postural strengthening exercises. And I say this almost every time. Part of the reason we do this is everyone slips, but not everyone falls. When we train balance through other cues especially, what we're doing is we're preventing a fall, which is preventing a fracture, which is helping you maintain the highest quality of life for the longest possible amount of time.
Tons of value there.
I think so. So to bring that back to our calcium discussion, it's kind of like, if this even shows maybe modest benefit in preventing fractures, then it's probably worth doing, because why not if there's not a lot of harm associated? Mike.
We'll get into that.
Yep, okay.
We'll get into that. But before we do that, I do want to touch on just the quality of a lot of the research out there, which seems a little weird to say, because the studies that have been done are massive studies, hundreds of thousands of people. If you look at even some of the meta-analyses, right? I mean, they're comparing, hundreds of studies. They're looking at hundreds of thousands of people to draw their statistical conclusions, which you would think is tremendously powerful and holds a lot of value, right?
Right.
Right. However, one of the huge problems with these studies is the fact that most of them are in community-dwelling individuals, which means people who are essentially, can I use the term free range? That's how I like to describe it in my research course. Free range humans, yes. Yeah. Basically, people who are just living in their houses and doing whatever they want to do. The compliance level of calcium supplementation in many of these studies is staggeringly low.
Right.
Staggeringly low. Like 50 to 60% of people are actually taking their calcium supplements as recommended, because there's long studies, right? They're like 5-year studies, a lot of them. And you know,
you want to me to eat somebody chalk every day for 5 years?
More or less.
That's how we get calcium.
Yeah, so you can. I had a teacher in high school who used to actually eat chalk.
Really?
Yeah, it was sort of a gimmick. It was really weird. And anyway, point being, the compliance level is very, very low, and that significantly affects the outcomes. And that's why a lot of the studies looking at community-dwelling individuals are inconclusive or shows almost no benefit. You contrast that with the studies that are done on institutionalized adults, right?
People, non-free range.
Non-free range, essentially
caged.
Living in retirement homes, not caged, but living in retirement homes where you have somebody coming to your room every day and saying, here, it's time to take your calcium. And they do. And they actually show significantly better results with maintaining bone density and preventing fractures in those institutionalized individuals. So that does explain some of the conflicting research. And I would argue actually a lot of the conflicting research.
Well, maybe I feel confounding variables coming up, because...
Confounding variables, no doubt about it, it's not the same thing, but it's still relevant, because a lot of people who need this is the population who needs it, are these institutionalized elderly individuals. So if you're drawing your conclusions off the low compliant community dwelling individuals, and you're going to say, it doesn't really help. That's not helpful.
Yep. No. And you're right, again, for something that is low cost, I mean, it's a very low cost intervention, and for something that may help prevent a fracture, then why not?
Why not? Yes. So that's the question. Do you want to get into like the magnitude of the benefit?
Okay, go for it.
Like, it's really low magnitude.
Yes,
right?
It is.
It doesn't help a lot.
No.
Maybe slows down bone loss by something to the order of 15 to 30%. Best case scenario. That's best case scenario.
Yep.
And that's if you're taking it along with vitamin D, I should mention as well. Significantly less if you're only taking calcium. Best case scenario, 15 to 30% decrease in bone loss. And as far as preventing fractures, even less than that, you're looking at a couple percent reduction in fractures.
And you're talking relative risk, absolute risk. I know we don't want to necessarily break all of that stuff down.
Relative risk.
Yeah, exactly. Which is a bigger sounding number than absolute risk, which really means the number of people required to take calcium to prevent one fracture is very, very, very high.
How many fractures are you actually preventing? You know, and look, given the number of fractures that happen, you're preventing some, right?
Yeah, sure. I mean, if you prevent
thousands, even.
Yeah, if you prevent one in 100,000, hey, that's still good. That's still better.
It is.
Maybe. Who knows, right? Who's paying for the calcium? I don't know.
Well, it's not free.
Is it my taxpaying dollars?
No.
I didn't think so.
Okay. So.
Did you pay your taxes yet for the year, Mike?
No.
I haven't either, yeah. I'm probably going to do it in the next couple of days, though.
I'm going to do it shortly, hopefully.
Hopefully.
It actually is on my list to do for this week, but I'm not convinced I'm going to get it done.
Yeah, it's been on my list to do for probably 2 weeks. And even earlier this week, I'm like, oh, I'll probably do it on Sunday when I have some time. And all week, I was like, I'm not doing it on Sunday. I just don't want to do that.
If anybody at the CRA is listening.
Hey, we'll still get them in on time. It's still coming.
Okay.
Not just making up numbers at the last minute. No, oh, yeah, 35 sounds good for this one.
35, that's it.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay, Chris. So that's why people are taking calcium. And you said, well, if it's going to give you even a small benefit, it's going to prevent bone loss and it's going to prevent fractures, why not?
Yes. Do you have an answer to that?
Why not? Why not, Chris? Why wouldn't you take calcium?
Well, the truth is, I don't. It's one of those supplements where you actually answered it very well when I gave you those three different patient groups. And if someone in, you know, a 30-year-old woman asked me if she should take it, I'll say, well, okay, you know, tell me about your diet, but otherwise you probably don't need it. So that kind of takes care of itself. But why shouldn't someone in that high-risk group take it? I don't think there's a great answer to why they shouldn't take it. I don't know that there's really convincing evidence for why they should either. Here's what I do in practice. I say, yeah, you can take calcium. That's fine. It may have a tiny benefit, but here's what you need to do to actually strengthen your bones. And that's what we then spend the next 20 minutes talking about.
Okay. So what are the side effects of taking supplemental calcium?
Yeah, I guess there's a little bit of debate on this one as well. Some people say, I think the main one that people want to know about is, does it increase my risk for kidney stones?
That's one of the big ones.
What are some of the other ones? Cardiovascular health?
The other big one is cardiovascular, yes.
Yeah.
But I would say the most important of all is neither of those two. It's actually the GI side effects of taking calcium.
Oh,
which,
yeah, sure.
By the way, they're significant.
Are they? I don't know. I've never thought
of those. Man, they are.
Okay, tell me about it.
It leads to gastrointestinal upset in something like 30 to 50% of people who take calcium.
Okay.
Right? Like almost half. There are thousands of people out there, millions of Canadians
millions.
Who are taking calcium, and almost half of them are getting gastrointestinal side effects from that calcium, right? Now, when you start talking about the magnitude of benefit, how many fractures are we taking, is it worth it if almost half the people, and most of them are getting absolutely no benefit, is it worth it to, you know, cause all that GI upset?
No, Mike, it's not.
That's not the answer I'm fishing for, Chris. I'm asking a genuine question.
Yeah,
discussion. Do you think it is? I don't know.
This is a discussion with every supplement and every drug. We talk about number needed to treat. We talk about all these. Is the detriment of this intervention worth the positive outcomes that we see in a very small fraction of people? It's up to you. I mean, you know, the nice thing with calcium, if GI upset's fairly straightforward, right? If you get it, then you say, well, if it's giving you a lot of upset, then let's just stop it. It's probably not worth it for you.
Yeah, because the truth is, in order to get the benefit of preventing a fracture, you got to take it for a long time.
Oh, yeah, no, it's a thing most people go on and stay on.
Yeah, for years, decades.
Yeah, it's like Synthroid.
Nice throwback to last week's podcast.
Man, I tell you, I have been walking around all week. Like almost every ND or student I've met in the last week, I've said, hey, do you know about Synthroid? And just
go listen to our podcast.
Blown some minds, even beyond referring to the podcast, more just like, hey, did you know how many prescriptions for Synthroid there are? Man, I tell you, I'm still not sure what to do with that information.
Well,
Calcium. Okay. I'm much more comfortable with what to do about calcium. Should I take calcium? I don't know. How old are you? Okay, you're in the proper age group. Does it bother your stomach? No. Have you ever had kidney stones in the past? No. Yeah, all right, let's give it a shot. Start with 500 and see what happens.
Okay, yeah, you're comfortable with that, Chris?
I'm comfortable with that because it's sort of okay. Like, well, there's not a major. If you want to take it, I and you don't get any side effects, and you know, I don't think you're at risk for kidney stones, then yeah, okay, go ahead. Let's talk about your diet. Let's, you know, if you're eating, if you're old style and you're drinking 4 cups of milk a day, then no, don't take any calcium. You don't need any more. Drink less.
Is that
milk.
The old style to drink 4 cups of milk?
Oh yeah, are you kidding? Most people over 70 drink multiple cups of milk a day here in Canada.
That's true.
I think that's true. Let's find out. Let's go sneak up on some 70-year-olds.
Okay,
that's we'll hide in their kitchen with flash bulbs, and we will take pictures of them at their meal times.
Cereal. Why don't we just hire the photographer who sneaks into your kitchen to do that?
Well, he's not going to catch me drinking milk.
We already got a guy who we know is good at sneaking into kitchens.
All right, I'll ask Tom.
He's got the camera.
It's true, he does. Okay. Do you not agree with that?
You know what? I'm not sure I do, just because of how many people do actually get side effects from it. It's a huge number, and the number who actually benefit is very, very small. So when the cons outweigh the pros, I have a hard time recommending it. Really, the only time I actually recommend it is really in the highest risk groups. And that's all I really feel comfortable about.
I think you've actually just hit on the key difference there, because what I'm talking about is not kicking people off of it, because most people are already taking it when we initiate the dialogue. Actively recommending it?
But I think if you know, 30 to 50% of people are actually getting stomach upset from taking their calcium, I'm going to take close to half of them off of it.
All right, good. No, I like to hear you say that, because I feel like, and you know, I threw this out there at the very start of the show. It's, you know, like sentence number two in our show notes. I think too many people are taking too many supplements. And so if we can take someone off of something that is maybe at least impairing their quality of life, it hurts their stomach, and probably not providing benefit, I'm all for.
Yeah, I mean, like that's my MO in treating people. That's just how I roll. Like, people come in and they say, "Should I take these supplements?" And I say, "No, stop taking calcium. Eat more cheese." And that's why people love me, Chris.
Yeah, eating more cheese.
I went to go see this doctor. He saved me money, and he told me I can eat more cheese.
Yeah, I don't quite go as far as the eat more cheese bit, because I know. But get more from food sources. Yes, canned salmon is one of the best, might even be the very best source of calcium, because they leave those little spinal column bones in there. Eat those up. That's good for you.
Yeah, I used to always pick those out.
No.
I used to tell my mom to pick those out when I was a kid.
My cat picks those out. Doesn't eat the spine.
Really?
Yeah.
Your cat?
Yeah, we give him the good stuff sometimes, and he just eats everything except the bones. I'm like, hey, come on, cat, you got to get osteoporosis.
Wow, Podcat, you're really picky.
Yeah, he is. He is a little. He only likes the good stuff. Yeah, so I eat the bones when he's not done.
Good for you.
No,
good
I don't, Mike. That's disgusting.
Oh, all right.
But it's an excellent food source. So if you're saying to yourself, look, I don't want to have dairy, and I can't eat that much leafy green vegetables, other main source, then canned salmon. You can get great canned salmon now. That's a wonderful source.
Sure. Well, and look, there's a lot of non-dairy things too that are fortified with calcium.
Yeah, that's true. Fortification. Well. Yep. In fact, a lot of the alternative milks are fortified.
That's where I was going to. Yeah, is the almond milks, the soy milks, and all the products that are associated with that. So the soy and almond, you know, sour creams and yogurts and cheeses and things like that, right?
Well, you're right. Yeah. Okay. Yes, you're right. You know what's funny? Sometimes people ask me now if soy milk counts as dairy.
Yeah, which is a really odd question. Yeah. Like, I get why people ask it, but the first few times I heard it, I almost had to, you know,
step back,
stop myself from laughing at them. It's like, no, that's a dumb question.
Yeah, but I've been asked that several times. I've also been asked several times if eggs count as dairy.
Me too. Again.
And, you know, we don't want to judge. And it's interesting to us. And it's sometimes I use it as almost like a barometer of, we assume a level of threshold knowledge that a lot of people just don't have, because they've just never been taught. And then it is a step back to be like, okay, no, we need to talk about a couple of basics here. All right.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I mean, like, I don't want to come across as like I'm a condescending jerk.
But it's hard not to, because it's kind of like, what?
Yeah, yeah. I've heard it enough times now that it doesn't really faze me, and I've got a good response to it. But
yeah, I usually say, well, no, not really, not quite. You know, they talked about it for a while, but didn't quite get in there.
Yeah, no, it's from beans, not cows.
Okay, Mike, we're getting close to time. Anything else you want to talk about?
I think there's a lot more to talk about, Chris. I don't really want you to let this go. What about the other side effects we talked about? So we didn't actually get into kidney stones and cardiovascular disease.
I'm not sure.
What does the research say there?
I don't really know, truthfully. Like, I don't know how much the research actually says there is a direct risk at this level, and this is what it increases it by. I mean, I know that it's out there, but I don't really know the truth on it.
I could tell you the truth. I mean, it totally does not increase the risk of kidney stones. In fact, there's some good large studies out there that show people who are taking calcium supplements got fewer kidney stones.
Yeah, I have seen that, yeah.
So, no, I that's not something I'm afraid of. I know it's a scare tactic out there. Oh, you're going to get kidney stones if you take too much calcium. No, you don't. It's not a thing. Sorry.
Yep. So I think, and I think a lot of people kind of know that one's a bit of a myth, but I don't know the great answer to cardiovascular disease.
The cardiovascular disease one is actually a really interesting one because there's two sides to it. There's death from cardiovascular disease.
Worst and, side to be on for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't want to die from cardiovascular disease, but that here's the thing in men, especially elderly men.
Oh, yeah. Go on. Yeah, I have seen this, I think.
Do you want to take it?
No,
you
got it. You go on.
Okay, in men, yeah, you're more at risk if you're taking calcium. In women, that's definitely not the case. In fact, it has a protective effect against cardiovascular disease for women. And not only that, but calcium,
it makes
very modestly but significantly, makes you look better, lowers blood pressure. Did you know about that one?
Yeah, I did. I do. As soon as you started down that difference between men and women, I was like, oh yeah, I remember all of this. Yes, yeah. That's. I find that. I never followed it up, but I remember thinking like, huh, fascinating. I should probably learn more about what's happening here.
I looked into it a little bit, and it has to do with vitamin D and parathyroid hormone and what happens when you have lots of calcium or when you don't have lots of calcium. So it's not the calcium that has the effect on the blood pressure, but it's the lack of calcium that can have an effect on blood pressure.
Yes, okay. So the short answer to your question is, maybe an increase in men and definitely not in women.
Definitely not in women. Yeah.
Okay. So I guess that's one less reason to not take calcium.
Correct. And you know, so bringing it back to the most at-risk population, the people who would most likely benefit from taking calcium, you're talking about postmenopausal women.
Yeah, right. I mean,
right?
And,
you know, so what are the risks for a postmenopausal woman? Is it kidney stones? Nope. Is it cardiovascular disease? Nope. Is it GI upset? Quite possibly. But if it's not upsetting your stomach and you're a postmenopausal woman, if you're going to take it with vitamin D, I would say, yes, you can almost certainly benefit from it.
Yep. No, you make a pretty strong point there. Because osteoporosis is definitely high up there among postmenopausal women.
Yes.
And there you go. It is a very small but possibly useful tool in the toolkit of treating osteoporosis, but it sounds like it's at least maybe useful.
Maybe useful. I mean, very, very modest benefit, but you know, if you're in that high risk group and if you're not gonna be if you're not experiencing any side effects, if you don't get those side effects, then yeah, then there's very little downside to it and there's only upside. So sure, it's probably not going to help you, but it might.
All right, Mike, I have got a serious hankering for some warm milk before bed. Is there anything else you would like to say tonight?
Yes, Chris.
Oh, God, Mike.
I'm sorry. I did a lot of research for this one today, Chris. I did a lot of research.
I used up all my material in the first half of the show.
Okay, so here's a very interesting one. Because all we've talked about so far is calcium for your bones. But calcium's not just for your bones, is it?
Oh, I know what you're going to talk about. No, it's
not. No, you don't know what I'm talking about. I almost guarantee you don't know what I'm going to talk about.
The calcium calmodulin complex and smooth muscle regulation?
No. What I was going to talk about is calcium and preeclampsia.
Oh, no, you're right. I did not see that coming.
You didn't see that coming. I know. I came across it in the research. I'm not convinced I knew this. I might have known it somewhere in the back of my mind, but I don't think I did because it seemed like a bit of a surprise to me. But significantly reduces the incidence of preeclampsia in pregnant women, women who take calcium supplementation, and especially the first trimester, can significantly, to like the order of 30 to 50%, reduce the risk of preeclampsia happening, which
I can buy that. Sure.
That's amazing though.
Yeah.
Right. Like that's a real benefit.
That is actually quite amazing. And I will definitely say I did not know that information, but I can follow through the physiology of that pretty quickly.
It makes sense, right?
Yeah, like, yeah. I can check that. Like, yep, yeah, I buy that.
For sure. So that's, let's not just paint it with the brush that calcium is only for your bones, and that's the only reason a person would be taking a calcium supplement. There are other reasons as well. So I wanted to put that in there.
All right.
Then there's muscle and nerve function as well. I do think it's important in those populations as well who do have essentially muscle and nerve issues. Yeah,
it can be. I mean, regulating it can become quite important.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. So, you know, and look, it is pretty hard for your body to become truly deficient. Oh, I'm hesitating when I say that
yeah.
a little bit because it depends on the population. But,
yeah.
for, you know, in the developed nations, people who are in adulthood, it's pretty hard.
Okay, good. Okay, Mike, any other facts you want to drop on us about calcium?
No, I think that's it, Chris. I probably do have some more because it was actually pretty cool getting
you deserve the jersey tonight for sure. Like, you are CA number 20.
That's right. That's right. That's what I would have on. I would have to be my number. Yeah. CA would be the team. I'm team calcium,
yeah.
number 20.
Yeah. Great. I'm going to be team vitamin D.
Right. What would your number be?
I don't know, 34?
Mm.
Because that's how many branch chains are in the second glycol of the... No, I don't know that.
I would probably just be 25. For 25 hydroxy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, now you beat me to it. It's past my normal bedtime, for the record.
I know. You're not as sharp as I am.
Like, pretty much once we hit the halfway point of the show, I'm like, I've usually been asleep for 15 minutes at this point.
I like being able to push you.
Yeah, so I will give you...
And I think the audience appreciates it, too. They're like, man, that Chris has been getting a little bit on his high horse. Why don't you knock him down?
They're probably like, oh, yeah, I mean, it must be tough being Mike, just like losing all the time. They're probably like,
it must
that's
be
cute.
Tough
he
being
won
Mike
one.
Having
he
to
won
put
one
up
tonight.
With this.
Yeah, he got a little bit in there. Okay, Mike, can we go now? Are we ready to wrap it up?
We can wrap it up. Can I wrap it up? Because you're actually pretty horrible at wrapping it up.
I disagree, but yes,
you're
you can wrap
horrible.
It up.
The last week, you were like, yeah, you can find us on all the usual stuff.
That's
that
so
doesn't
hip,
help
though,
anybody.
The hip
if you want to
is.
Get in touch with us, you could send us an email, questions@hhpodcast.com. You can follow us on Twitter @HHPcast. We are always interested in your feedback. We're interested in your questions. Hey, this is how people get in touch and get involved in the show, Chris. This is how they could send in suggestions for topics. They could send in suggestions for books, and you could get a free book of it out of it, like Charles did. Hey, come on. This is good stuff, Chris.
All right, wrap it up. Come on.
All right. For Chris Pickerel, I'm Mike Frazina, and you're listening to the Health Happens podcast.
Always a pleasure.